It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Bill Crawford this morning sitting in for Damon Witten on Laker Hockey Talk. It's assistant coach Rich Mitro. And Rich is no stranger to local people. He's from the Sioux. He played all his hockey here in his minor days and went on to play at Northern Michigan. And Rich has been, this is his second stint as an assistant coach with the Lakers. And, you know, Rich, one of the things we should talk about right out of the gate is the relationship you have with Damon Witten and Doug Holliva. One of the things I note every time I watch a practice is how much input you and Doug have. Damon is not the kind of guy who goes out there and does all the coaching and has the assistants pushing pucks. You guys have a lot of input, a lot of say. It's a really a three-headed monster when you're dealing with the Laker coaching staff. All three of you have a lot of input as to what you're doing in practice, what you're going to do in a game, how you deal with players, recruiting, everything.
Yeah, no, it's all hands on deck, that's for sure. I mean, right from the practice plans we go over every morning as a staff to recruiting right after that, and obviously into the practice itself. Yeah, it's you know, like I said, it's great. You know, that's the one thing I really appreciate. I, you know, obviously as a coach yourself, you want to be involved in the coaching, not just the recruiting, and you learn from it all, so it's great.
Yeah, it's very obvious too when it's going on out on the ice. I think the players feel that as well. And you know, I always thought that it's better if you have all three voices, because that's three different styles there. Players get tired of one guy, whether it's a head coach or an assistant doing all the talking, and they like to hear from different people, and you all have different approaches. Doug's more a business-like type guy. You're more of the personality guy who's got a few cheap lines to throw in now and then, and Damon kind of takes the middle ground on that, and I think it works pretty well for this team.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like you said, you know, everyone brings their strengths, and you know, obviously everyone has weaknesses as well. I mean, that's the beauty of it. So I think we all complement each other very well. You know, it's a pretty upbeat staff and very energetic, and I think the guys, you know, feed from it a lot for sure.
And this team has gotten better too. You look at these three top lines we've got right now; they work pretty well together at Mankato. Tough place to play. Man, I thought we had them on Saturday night up 2-0 in the third period, but they relied on their defense like they usually do. They remind me a lot of Michigan Tech. They got great defensemen who can really get involved. Four of their six goals on the weekend came off the sticks of defensemen, both goals that tied the game on Saturday night. So they're a defense-oriented team.
Yeah, that's a huge weapon. You know, when you have defensemen that can add, you know, put in goals on a nightly basis, it's really hard as a team to defend it. You know what I mean? I mean, you're so worried about being around your net and taking away the grade A scoring chances, but when D can shoot the puck, you know, through traffic, through screens, whatever, and get it on net, that's a valuable asset. And I'll tell you that it's really hard to defend.
Yeah, and we did a good job against some really good forwards that play for Minnesota State. CJ Franklin didn't do much on the weekend. Mark Michaelis had maybe 1 point all weekend. Those guys are high level scorers. You got McClure, you got a Max Cota, a whole bunch of them there that are really good players.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no reason, you know, that to feel sorry for Mankato. I mean, they're loaded right from first line to second to right to the fourth, and you know, there's no lack of scoring on that team. But no, I mean, we did a good job defending those guys, and that was kind of the mindset going in. But they're a good team for a reason. I mean, they do a good job year in and year out of recruiting, and you go around the league and you see their recruits, they're good. So yeah, they do a great job there.
Yeah, they're a team that talks all the time about wanting to move to the National Collegiate Hockey Conference, the NCHC. I don't know why they want to do that. They're a big fish in the smaller pond right now, and they'd be a fifth, sixth place team probably right now in the NCHC, but they seem to want to do that. They think the travel would be better, but hey, you got to fly to Denver and Colorado College. Lakers, now you take the weekend off here, and you kind of lick your wounds a little bit, get ready to play Anchorage at home next weekend. What's the plan here this week? What are you doing? You're kind of taking over the team because Damon's out in BC on a recruiting trip.
Yeah, he's out going to pound it a little bit out there, and you know, he's very familiar with the BC League, you know, with his time in Tech and other places, so it's he always enjoys going back out there, so that's great. And here we're gonna practice this afternoon, tomorrow as well, and then actually not tomorrow but Saturday. Tomorrow we're gonna go out to the prison and play a little outside game with those guys, a little That should be kind of interesting. It's always fun. We went out there last year. The guys really enjoyed it. We're going back out again this year. But it's, you know, for us right now, it's just trying to get the guys healthy. Like I said, we've had a real bad stint of the flu going through our team. Three or four guys dropping every week. And ever since we got back since Christmas. So, you know, the mindset right now is just to get these guys healthy. And then next week, be ready to go.
Yeah, it's six games remaining in the regular season, starting with Anchorage at home, whiteout weekend next weekend, and then we go up to Alaska for two games. That'll be tough. It always is. The trip alone's tough enough. Then you come home and you play Ferris State to finish out the season, and I think all of us think it's going to come right down to that Ferris State series.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, playing both Alaskans back-to-back is not no easy task, especially going up there. But, you know, we every game we got to get points. We've got to keep continuing to move up the charts. And then that game against that weekend against Ferris here is going to be, you know, basically playoff hockey game on.
Well, October, we had some tough luck down there. I think that was one of our worst defensive series of the season. We kind of let them score a lot of goals. They had 7 in one game and 5 in the other and beat us twice. I think our guys would like to take another shot at them at this point in the season. You got these three lines to me right now are really playing well. The Hultz line, Diego, what a difference it made having he and Gus back in the lineup on Saturday night. And then Henke's been playing really well. He's probably been the hottest of the Lakers scoring in the last 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, that Henke line with Luke Morgan and Anthony Nellis has been really a great line, a great fit. Obviously, Luke Morgan's having a tremendous freshman season on that line as well. And Henke's going to probably crack 30 points here by the end of the season. Him and Mitch Holtz as well, but who's on another line, and that line with Diego as well. It's, I mean, three lines of a lot of points. I mean, you look back at it right now, I think we're gonna, you know, I think the top 9 scorers on our team are having career years, you know, which is pretty tremendous. You know, I remember a couple of years ago looking at our points and wondering if anyone's going to get above 10.
Now we have 4 guys with 10 goals.
So, yeah, No, it's our offense is definitely there, you know, that's for sure. I mean, knock on wood, but, you know, we have 3 lines that can score, and our 4th line can chip in as well, so it's nice to have.
Yeah, that 4th unit we're talking about, it's either Brian Basilico at center, and he's got Nenendahl on the left side, and over on the right wing right now is McKay. Brendan McKay has really crashed into the lineup since the Northern Michigan series and done a really good job. And you got Jake Hand, who played real well at Mankato. You can stick him in there. He could be a centerman. He could go to one of those 2 wings, and he'll give you some time, too.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what you need to have, you know, especially, you know, your 4th line can't give up any goals, and it's nice if they chip in from time to time, but they have to defend really well, play heavy, play hard. And I think we're getting a lot of that from those guys, which is great. And it's obviously nice to see Brendan McKay getting in there and doing a great job.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of the newcomers to this team. You got a guy like Max Humitz, who Damon always describes as being over ready to play college hockey. He's a 20-year-old freshman. And then you got Luke Morgan, who's a young guy, comes in as an 18-year-old freshman. Both these guys are really coming into their own. Humitz has been good all year. He was good right out of the gate. He's got 12 goals, leads this team in goal scoring. But Morgan's the one who's really come on here the last maybe 6-8 games. He has become a real good Division I player, and he's just going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, Luke just brings a high work ethic every day, to, you know, lunchbox type player. You know, you can use him in all scenarios, penalty kill, power play, 5-on-5. You know, he's got an unbelievable motor. You know, it's obviously he won King of the Camp this year for us as a freshman, coming in as a true freshman, which is unheard of. And like I said, he's a type of kid that, you know, you wish you had more of him, because I'll tell you what, he gives you everything he got every day. So, but yeah, he's good.
And then we got Max Humitz. You got a great story about him, how we got him. You don't believe there's providence involved sometimes. I think there was with him. We wouldn't have got him if you wouldn't have had a snowstorm and a bad situation going on. Tell that story.
Yeah, I was on my way to London, Ontario to watch actually a Junior B game, and they actually closed the highway in between Port Huron and London after I was about a half hour towards London there. And it closed the raid down, so I counter back. I basically, you know, talked to Damon and said, hey, what's going on around the area that I can go see? And he's like, well, I think Muskegon's actually playing, if you can get across there. And so the next night I kind of blew across the Detroit area over to Muskegon in a pretty huge snowstorm, and I was about the only scout in the rink, that's for sure. And Muskegon was playing Madison Caps there, which Mitch Holtz was playing for them. And during that weekend, you know, both guys played really, really, really well. And you know, it was nice. We ended up getting both those guys pretty much out of that one weekend. So
yeah, that's a really good recruiting story right there. Everybody else snowed out. Rich Mitro gets through. He's from the Sioux. Snow doesn't bother him. And we pick up two of our best players. You know, Mitch Holtz is a really good player. I don't know if he's going to sign and leave at the end of this season. There's a lot of conjecture about that. There are scouts talking to that kid every game. Humitz isn't going anywhere for a while, but what a find he's been. I mean, 12 goals as a freshman, 7 of them on the power play. He's got tremendous eye-hand coordination. I think 2 or 3 of his goals have come on high tip-ins that just beat the goalie. The best one probably was the one against Alabama Huntsville, but he had a dandy against Northern Michigan up there, too.
Yeah, it's funny how it goes. I saw him early in the year playing for Lincoln in the USHL, and that team wasn't very good at all. And then, you know, 2 or 3 months later, I see him in Muskegon, and that year Muskegon, I think, went the distance. They had some pretty high-end talent on that team. A few guys went to Ohio State and North Dakota and guys like that, and he was right in the middle on the first power play where he is right now playing for us, and he just had a tremendous stick. He could really rip the puck for a little guy. I mean, he's very small. I mean, you know, but his strength and hand-eye coordination is off the charts, and man, he's really done a good job in the middle there.
Yeah, I think the big knock on Max has always been he's not very tall. He's maybe 5'7", 5'8", but man, he's got a big heart, and he's really smart, and as you say, he's got great stick skills. I talked to his cousin when Michigan State was here, Tom Anestos, the head coach of the Spartans, and he said, we didn't take him because he's just too small. Well, they could use him. He's pretty darn good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, when people talk about stuff like that, and I've been fortunate to have, you know, you just gotta take what the guy brings, you know, to the table. And, you know, I was fortunate to coach Jeff Lurg for 2 years, and he called me last night. It's kind of a similar story, and he just left. He was over in Europe playing, and the coach over there basically told him, I got to have a bigger goalie. He was leading the league in save percentages again, but the coach wanted a big goalie, so he's sending him back. So he's going to come back. And the knock on Jeff of his whole life is he's too small, too small. And I think that's been the same thing with Max Humitz. Everyone keeps saying, oh, he's too small, too small. But I'll tell you what, when you got a high hockey IQ and you know how to play the game the right way, it doesn't matter what size you are. You know, you can, and he competes really hard day in and day out. And I'll tell you what, I'd take 6 of them.
Yeah, and he's a tough kid, too. He can go into the traffic. He doesn't get hurt. I don't think he's missed a game this year that I can remember, and he's done a really good job. We're going to take a break here on the Laker Hockey Talk this morning. Rich Mitro and I will be right back after this on ESPN 1400.
At H&R Block, we want you to focus on your business while we handle your books. From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax preparation and advice, we're ready to put our expertise to work on your small business. For the year-round services you need and the one-on-one attention you deserve, partner with H&R Block Business Services. Stop by our office at 3303 I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, or give us a call at 906-635-5970 to learn more. At participating offices, services do not include audit, attest, or other services for which a license is required. And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Back to Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. Bill Crawford sitting in for Damon Witten this week is Rich Mitro. And Rich, we'd really be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about the Sioux, about hockey, about your family. You come from a really strong hockey family. Your grandpa, Americo, was very big around the rinks all my young life. I can remember him. You got brothers, cousins. You got everybody playing the game. And your dad, Con, played here for Lake Superior State on the very first team Ron Mason ever had here down at Polar Stadium. And his brother Max, your uncle, was a really good player in his day here in Sault Ste. Marie. So hockey's in the blood, and much to the chagrin of your wife.
it's kind of even funny, too, with her. If you've ever been up to my desk, I got a photo of her grandpa on my desk with his with her grandma, and in the picture is Dollar Saint Laurent and the Rocket Richard. And her grandpa actually played for the French national team over there, hockey, and everyone knows him and stuff. But so she had a lot of hockey in her blood too, and so it's kind of funny that you know, the way it is. But yeah, between my grandpa and my Uncle Tony, who played for the Wisconsin Badgers, and my dad on the first Lake State team, and we always laugh. I always say, the you know, everyone says the best one of all was probably Max. He was kind of a high hybrid defenseman back in the day. And, you know, so yeah, with, you know, most of my cousins all played in the USHL and Division III and stuff like that. And my brother as well played out in Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League and was a goalie out there. And I mean, it just seems like it's never ending. That's all we talk about is hockey, and it's awesome. They come to every game. My dad, my Uncle Max are at every single game, home game, and my biggest critics, it's, to, you know, but that, yeah, that I think that's, you know, you know you're doing a good job, and you know you're doing a bad job. That's all I can say.
Yeah, they like to, those guys all like to get together with the Zimmermans, yeah, and talk about 3-star selections too. So
I love it. Yeah, I had Mike Zimmerman call me out of the blue the other day to talk to me about some new thing he saw in the NHL about flipping the puck or something. But you know, that's the great thing about being in a small town and you know, and coaching at Lake Superior State. I think the passion is tremendous. People love it. You know, obviously. See, I love it. You know, it's something that is a very special place. I don't think you get it at too many other colleges.
Yeah, it'd be awful tough at Huntsville to find the kind of a tradition in the background that we have here at Lake Superior State. And, of course, we got 3 national championships, a 4th national championship game. Not very many small schools can brag about that. And we kind of use that when we're recruiting. That's your main piece of the puzzle here at Lake Superior State. You and Doug get out and do a lot of recruiting. You're responsible for an awful lot of the good players who are here now. We've talked a little bit about Humets and about Holtz, how we got them. It's tough to recruit, especially when you're coming out of the small school that hasn't had success in recent years, and yet you guys have managed to pull in some really good ones. Colin Sackelman's a very good player. He's exactly what you told me he was going to be before he came in, and we got a lot of others too. I think the big thing right now, what are we doing in goal for the future, and what do we do if we lose somebody? What if some guy walks out the door here at the end of the season and we have to replace him?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we have going right now is we've done a lot of recruiting, and we've recruited out a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, which is kind of nice. And so if you do lose a guy, let's just say, for example, like a Mitch Holtz or whatever, you kind of know it's going to happen, but there's always a backup plan. And we have a couple of kids that are signed to NLIs and some other guys that are on verbals. And I think it's just kind of figuring out, like I did last weekend, is the guy over ready to come in and play? Could he fill that void if Mitch Holtz leaves in July? You know, and it's nice to have that, because if you don't have it, now you're scrambling. And it's not easy to go find a guy in July. So, you know, that's always, you know, a big part of it. And like goaltending, like you said, you know, that's, I think we just got a verbal commitment from a goalie that's playing out in Manitoba. And, you know, you're never done recruiting, though. Like, whether you're, you know, you think you got all bases covered, but, you know, you always want to upgrade as well. You know, there's no harm in trying to make this the best possible team possible, and that's what we're trying to do on a daily basis.
Yeah, and we got some big games coming up. We're going to need everybody ready for that. We're going to need this illness behind us. We're going to have to hope that the Alaska trip doesn't take too much out of the boys so they're ready to go against Ferris State at the end of the season. You know, this past Saturday night came to my mind several times as we went into overtime and double overtime there. A lot of people are critical. They think we're not in great physical shape. I didn't see any evidence of that. Everybody was still going hard in the second overtime on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know people have their opinion on certain stuff and that, but I mean, our team is in phenomenal shape. We put these guys through an extensive testing program as soon as they arrive, and they just shatter it. You know, the last couple of years, it's been phenomenal. And, you know, Johnny Parco's done a tremendous job day in and day out with these guys on the bikes and the weight room, and our conditioning on and off the ice is as good as anyone. You know, if anything, we pride ourselves on being the best conditioned team. Now, you know, whether you lose a third period or something like that, it's, you know, not necessarily because you're in shape or out of shape. It just sometimes, hey, like,
you make a bad turnover in your own goal.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, things like that happen. But no, I mean, I've seen this on Saturday nights, like you said, against Mankato, phenomenal. You know, I don't think that's been the issue at all.
Are there any Daniel Brickleys out there in the bushes that haven't been discovered as yet?
You know, it's funny how that goes. We've been trying, you know. You know, Daniel's a phenomenal player, and it was actually Anthony Palumbo that put me and Damon onto him, you know, 3 years ago. And Anthony had him in Topeka and was helping out with Topeka. And you know, he wanted to school with aviation. And, you know, we tried everything we could to get him in here. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. I mean, there's, you know, like, you know, people are saying the same thing about Christopher Bendulis right now. You know, where did you find him? Well, he's been there. You know, he wasn't a secret. It's just a matter of you want him or not. And, you know, if you see something in him and you like him, then you better jump on him quick.
Yeah, with Bendulis, he has a downside. It's defensive coverage. He's not as physically strong as he's going to get. I hope he's not a guy who's thinking of signing at the end of this year, because he needs at least one more year of maturity, needs a weight room summer and to get stronger, because he's very, very good as a skater, and he's very good offensively. He passes the puck well. He's a very smooth player, and he could be a really good pro someday.
Yeah, I mean, his upside's off the charts. I mean, I think anytime you're 6'3" and you can skate like the wind like him, and I mean, he's just so smooth when he skates, he, you know, and I think that's you know, that's an elite advantage, and he's got a great stick. He can shoot the puck. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely got to get stronger. I mean, those are things that, you know, that don't happen overnight. And I think, you know, with one or two more years here at Lake Superior State, he'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, he's going to be a really good player. You like to see these guys stick around and mature a little bit. We've already lost one guy this year that would have been a tremendous junior, senior hockey defenseman at the Division I level. And we've talked about that before. The big thing about D1, when you compare it even to Major Junior A, is you got a lot of older players. You got guys like Dominic Schein at Northern Michigan, like Gordy Dayfield at Lake Superior State. They're 24 years old now. They're men, and you come in as an 18, 19-year-old young guy right out of junior hockey at the Tier 2 level. That's a big step when you're trying to play against men, and that's what they are.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, and a lot of times you can be fine in just one game. But you got to turn around and play that same guy on Saturday night. And if he's, you know, 20, 30 pounds, you know, heavier than you and stronger and faster, it wears you down. And you might not be able to handle a full season of D1 college hockey. So it's a grind, you know, and I think that's the one thing that the NHL likes is that these guys are coming out of college hockey in tremendous shape, over ready, you know, and they can step right into any lineup and play.
Yeah, they're good players, and, you know, we're kind of out of time here this morning. 20 minutes, 22 minutes doesn't goes by in a big hurry. Rich, I appreciate you joining us. Good luck with the team here this weekend, getting them ready to play against Anchorage next week. And on the recruiting trail, too, it's so important that the Lakers get good players for the future, and you and Doug have done a great job, Pete Aubrey before you. This team is in pretty good shape right now.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill.
All righty. We're going to get out of here. That's Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. Rich Mitro, we thank him for sitting in for Damon Witten. We'll be back next Thursday morning at 8:30 right here on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block. Join us next week for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk, right here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.